Hi, this is Cass Garcia and you are listening to the podcast. This was created to help you transform your life and become the best version of yourself. Hey guys, Cass Garcia here and welcome back to the podcast. Today, I am very lucky to have here a guy that is a really good chiropractor, businessman, entrepreneur, but also someone that I get lucky to call a best friend. His name is David Reading. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Cass. Thanks for having me.
I'd like you to introduce yourself. Who are you?
My name is David Reading. I'm an integrative chiropractor who owns a business here on the Northern Beaches, which helps people look at their health in a holistic fashion. I'm looking at all aspects of their health, emotional health, physical health, biochemical health. That's what I do for a business. Other than that, I'm a father of two. I've just had another baby boy 4 weeks ago, Colby. That's pretty much me.
That's cool, mate. So, as you know, this podcast is about getting you to become the better version of yourself.
Yep.
And I thought, since you're a good friend, but also I am one of your patients, I would use some of your expertise.
Yep.
Not just into what you do, but also in life, because I know you have a lot to give, a lot of experience, and I think that my listeners will benefit a lot from hearing your message. And we were actually talking earlier today about this, and it's probably where I want to focus today, is that a lot of people, they are scared of starting something in their lives because of the fear of being judged by someone else.
100%.
And for me, I've seen who you are today, but I also became your patient maybe like 12 years ago, and I understand, number one, where you came from, so the clinic where you were, but also being a chiropractor used to be something different before than what you are right now.
Yep.
But also, a lot of people, especially in the past, saw being a chiropractor not as beneficial for you. People had like this different idea of what it is to be a chiropractor or being treated by a chiropractor.
Yep.
But you stuck to it. It's been, I don't know how long you've been in the industry, but you've been for such a long time. You've changed so much, and you now like one of the most successful chiropractors I know. It's like really hard to book an appointment with you. You can't even, if you're a new patient, it's like there's a wait line of over a month. So it's something crazy that you build yourself.
Yep.
You've got all this client base that keep coming back. So what is it for you that, number one, made you become a chiropractor?
Yep.
And then what is it that keeps you coming back every day?
Yeah, okay. Well, when I first started wanting to be a chiropractor, I was about 12 years old, and I was always the kid who would end up with all of the sporting injuries because I'd like stupidly throw myself into a soccer tackle that I shouldn't have, or I should dive to catch a ball and I'd injure myself. So originally I wanted to be a chiropractor as I started to have the realization I wouldn't be a professional athlete. And so chiropractic, originally that physical form of it, was what I wanted to do because that was going to allow me to work with sports teams and, you know, the thought of one day being the chiropractor for like Liverpool Football Club or the Australian cricket team was really what I wanted to do, which is funny because where I've ended up now is a completely different area. So that's what started me on the journey, as everyone loves to say that word, journey, at the moment. But then what happened as I started going along, I started to notice with patients that not everything was physical. I remember, like, for example, you'd have two people come in with an injury. One would heal really quickly and one wouldn't. And it would look like it was the exact same physical injury. And that's when I started to think and look a bit deeper. and be exposed to people who had these thoughts, none of them original. Like, none of these are my own original thoughts. Like, you know, we all stand on the shoulders of giants. These are all people I've learnt from. But started to be like, why was this person having a more difficult time than the other person? And what I started to learn is how much what we put into our body, the food, the vitamins, the minerals, but the diet. But probably most importantly, the emotional aspect of what happens when someone has had emotional trauma or has stress or isn't doing what they should be doing, like in their life, and found that that was probably the biggest aspect of what would affect somebody's ability to heal. And to be honest, it's where the most interesting stuff and the most growth could come from. So in uni, I studied a bit of psychology, some social psychology. So I always had an interest for why we do the things we do. But then as I started to be exposed to different people, and I was exposed to practitioners who treated in this holistic fashion of looking at it as a person, as their physical, mental, and biochemical health, that I started a completely new journey in chiropractic. It was sort of like being a chiropractor all over again. And at the heart of it, I think the thing that keeps me coming back is more the progression on my own journey. It's like, as I sort out my own shit and own stuff, it's like that then helps me help my patients. So I've had so many amazing sort of mentors and practitioners that have come into my life at different spots, who really helped me understand who I was as a person, why I was doing the things I was doing, the really positive aspects of things I was doing, the sort of lower vibrational things that I was doing, the more negative or self-sabotaging behaviors I was doing. But that was really where my practice started to shift, was to helping people identify their own self-limiting beliefs, their own subconscious drivers and behaviors, and how this was affecting their decisions in their life, but for a lot of them also their physical health, why their health was deteriorating or wasn't where they want it to be, and how that was a direct correlation to what they were thinking and what they were saying and what they were doing.
Nice. So very good. And from what I can sort of gather is basically whatever you think about, whatever it's in your mind or it happened in your brain, that has something to do with your body. You know, that you might have an injury that happened because you're playing sport, but that might have something linked in the past to a trauma that you had or something like that, right?
Yeah, definitely. Like, the perfect example, actually, let's go back two steps. Like, one thing everyone needs to know when we start talking about how your thoughts can affect your physical body, because whilst this is starting to become a concept that is readily accepted, it wasn't that long ago, you know, I'd say to someone, hey, I think your shoulder pain is caused by your stress. And they'd be like, bro, it's my shoulder. What do you mean? Like, I'm sore here. This has nothing to do with my mind. But what we really need to know is that in every single person, there is essentially two nervous systems that run. And these two nervous systems can never run at the same time. So, for example, there's one that's called your fight or flight nervous system, and the other one's called your rest and digest nervous system. So most people have heard a little bit about the fight or flight, and we'll come back to that, but the rest and digest nervous system is one that we should be in 99% of the time. And when we're in this, our brain will dedicate all the neurological energy in the body to digesting food, creating hormones, creating immune cells, monitoring and regulating itself, keeping us in homeostasis or in a healthy, happy state. Then we have this other nervous system called the fight or flight nervous system that is a remnant of when we were all cavemen. So that we would walk out the front of the cave, see a tiger, and our brain would go, holy shit, I do not want to die. Let's turn off all of the systems in our body that don't help me run really quickly or beat something to death, and let's survive what's happening now. So it would turn off the gut, turn off the immune system, turn off the hormonal regulation, and it would dedicate all the energy to the adrenal system, which makes our heart pump really fast, ramps us up. Think the sort of the energy you have of coming off a roller coaster, that real sort of shaky, let's go. And that's okay. That's a really helpful system when we're fighting a tiger. But the other thing that can trip this system is emotional stress. So, for example, say I'm in a relationship that's turning a bit the wrong way, or I'm in a toxic work environment, our brain won't portray this and just go, hey, oh, this is just some emotional stress. We're not dying from this. This will activate the fight or flight response. And why this creates a problem, as I said, is you're now spending all of your time in a system that you were really meant to only be in for 30 seconds. And in this system, it's not conducive to healing. It's not conducive to sleep. It's not conducive to fertility, falling pregnant. It's not conducive to digesting food. And what I find all the time is so many people, given their busy lifestyles, are staying stuck in this sympathetic nervous system, which is what the fight or flight nervous system is called. And it's only by going into the emotional traumas or the emotional stresses that are activating this system that we can help someone heal. So we might have someone who's having chronic shoulder, neck pain and headaches. And that's all happening because they're having a fight or flight response that's telling their body, wow, we're going to fight something. So let's hunch our shoulders and bare our teeth. So we've got aggressive body language because we're going to fight. Most of that will be happening while we're asleep. But if we don't switch off that response, we can massage the neck, we can acupuncture the neck, we can adjust the neck all we like. But without addressing the emotional stress or trauma that is triggering that fight or flight, and as I said, that could be work stress, or that could be, like in really heavy cases, that could be something where there was a sexual assault or a sexual abuse or a physical abuse that happened at a young age.
Wow.
And that's perpetuating that stress response. So this person's health is deteriorating and they're not sure why. So that's where getting into the emotional reason, doing the work on ourselves, is incredibly important. Does that all make sense?
Yeah, no, that's really cool. And I think you've told me an example in the past, and I'm not sure if I will recall it exactly, so I might ask you.
Nope.
But you can't say names here, of course, Dr.
Patient privilege.
But there was one of your case studies that you're talking about, that someone had like a leg injury or something like that, and then you were able to see that injury didn't really come just from the sport that they were playing,
yep.
But there was something underneath.
Yeah, so that was one of the... This was early on when I was getting exposed to this new holistic way of thinking. And it was one of the real cases that started to shift my perception, because up until then, I was very physically focused, meaning like knee bones connected to the hip bone. If we get a leg strong, then that leg will work no matter what. And this was a patient who's still a really good friend. He was actually my trainer at the time. And he hurt his hamstring. And every time he would go back to play soccer, he would partially tear his hamstring. And the first time he came in, he's like, Dave, I've got this hamstring. It's been really bad. Can we sort it out? I'm like, yeah, we can sort this out. We got him back, did all the rehab, all the strengthening, really strong. And first time back out on the field, tears the hamstring. Wow. And we're like, wow, that was just unlucky, you know. That's what it is. Like, there must have been some element we missed. Let's do it again. We did it again the second time it happened. And from memory, we might have even gone through this a third time, and he tore the hamstring. And that's when I met my now wife, Maddie, who's also an integrative chiropractor, she was into this before all of it was cool to be into this. And she said to me, that sounds like there's an emotional connection. And I remember being like, no, it's his hamstring. What are you on? What are you talking about? But I was like, you know, you're hot. I'm starting to date you. So, you know, I'll listen to you. And she introduced me to this technique called NET, or neuro-emotional technique, which is an interesting technique where there's some really interesting research that's coming out about it. But what it does is it helps clear subconscious blocks, or helps change how quickly that fight or flight response will activate. And she said, why don't you send him to me, and I'll do some NET with him. And I remember going, okay, cool, like I'm out of answers here. This is the third time I've got this person back to the field, and it's just not working. So I went back, I sent him off to my wife Maddie. She did some NET with him, and it turned out that he'd had a real tragedy in his family, that he'd been playing high level soccer at one point. And his father had actually passed away at the same time he'd torn his hamstring when he was 18. He was playing for a national team. And there was a lot of emotional trauma that was revolved around, you know, the loss of his father at the same time he was injured, that there was this connection between the trauma and his hamstring. So he did a ton of work with Maddie about clearing that. Actually, I shouldn't even say a ton of work. Not a heap of work. A few really intense sessions of NET. And then he was able to go back to soccer. And I still see him to this day. And he always jokes that if his hamstring's getting a bit tight, he's like, oh, I need to come see you. My hamstring's getting sad again. And he was... It was interesting because he was really skeptical at the time. He was like, Dave, what are you talking about? But it was that really helped him start to see the connection between the emotional and the physical. And that was really that important case for me, because that was the one where I knew 100% we had done everything. We had done every single straight structural, physical, rehab, strengthening aspect you could do of a hamstring. And the thing that got him back was clearing the emotional connection that was occurring for him.
That's crazy. Just like listening to that, me being like really skeptical before, because now I do this as well, but it's just crazy to know that something that happened ages ago in your life can be still having an impact in your life today, in your body or in your mind or a disease or something like that, right?
Yeah, like one thing I should mention, and that really helped me understand this, is the brain does some really interesting things. So for example, it does this thing where it will save emotional patterns. So for example, say when I was 14, I was really badly broken up with, and I chose to get angry and resentful. Once that period of stress is over, my brain goes, wow, we experienced rejection, so we got angry and resentful. We didn't die doing this. This must be a really great way of dealing with rejection. So it sort of saves that as a pattern and goes, okay, now what we'll do is every time we experience rejection, we'll get angry and resentful because we don't die doing this. Mm. Now, 34-year-old David, I call Cass and go, hey man, you want to go grab a cup of coffee? And you're like, ah, sorry, I can't today. Without me even knowing if this pattern is there, I might react and respond in a way of anger and resentment. Like be like, oh man, it feels like Cass never has time for me. And that could be because that is tapping into this pathway that has occurred before. So that's a really important one I see. Like that's the classic example of someone who, say, in a relationship and gets cheated on and then has real problems with trust going forward, even though they might be with a completely different, beautiful partner who will never betray that trust, they still have those emotional connections to the past. That's something I see all the time. Or another example, when it comes to like fears or phobias or subconscious, you know, tripping us up, is I see this sort of stuff with kids all the time, which is really interesting, but it definitely perpetuates into adults. Is say when we're 6 years old, we're bitten by a white fluffy dog. Our brain goes, okay, well, let's not like white fluffy dogs. They present a danger. Because the subconscious speaks in a little bit different, like it speaks with dreams and vision and language, it's very symbolic. It will go, okay, let's all also be afraid of dogs. And you're like, okay, that sort of makes sense. But then it goes, well, I don't really like white fluffy things either, because that was bad. And then this might be someone whose parents are coming in going, this kid is terrified of Santa Claus because he has a white fluffy beard.
Yeah.
So this might be a case where you're having situations in your life, in both social, business, whatever aspect, where you could have feelings or emotions being triggered that aren't appropriate for what's happening now. And when we talk about this sort of work, we always want to talk about living in a thing called present time consciousness, meaning that in that point, in that moment, I'm existing in that. I'm not thinking about what happened in the past. I'm not getting sad about or fearful of things that have occurred in the past. And I'm not getting anxious about what's happening in the future. I'm existing in that moment. And that's what all athletes, what all musicians, what anyone who is doing something at a high level wants to function at, is present time consciousness. So like when Cristiano Ronaldo is about to hit that free kick to try and score, he's not thinking, shit, I missed the last one. You know, that one, that really hurt my feelings when I missed the last one. He's trying to clear all of that, let his body take over and do what it's meant to do, free of any fear, anxiety, or emotions linked to things that have happened in the past or perceptions of what could happen in the future.
That's amazing. And it's funny that you touched on that, because I've just finished a book called The Power of Now. which talks about, you know, living in the present moment and how much that will make a difference in your life. And to be honest, ever since I started just being in the moment, like here today, I'm here with you, I'm not thinking what I'm going to do next, or I'm not even trying to think what is going to be my next question. I'm just trying to enjoy this moment, because I know, one, it's we're not going to be able to go back in time and be here again, but also you're able to start appreciating the little things in life that once you can find happiness in anything, like really, like being sitting down here, I know this is really good, you're a really good friend, but just being here, being alive, being able to breathe, being healthy and having everything, and understanding that we are here right now, this moment, it's happening for a reason. And that's, for me, it really resonates with me. And you talked about, you know, your phobias and your fears. And I just wanted to talk a little bit more about NET, because I just like, without a visual, it will be a little bit hard. But for the people listening, how do you do this technique, this NET? And how can you clear, like, someone that is listening right now and it has, like, they want to start a new business, but they're just afraid of what people are going to think about, or they want to, you know, start a relationship that might be not what their mom or dad want, because it's, you know, if someone of the same sex or someone from a different country, whatever it is, you know, people have all these ideas and they don't do things because they have these phobias and they have this thinking that people are judging them. And then you come here and I've seen in yourself, and I don't really want to talk about this, but we play soccer together, and I've seen you when I first started playing with you and you didn't know any of this NET, and sorry mate, how bad you played before, and then you went through all this transformation, and then out of a sudden you're coming on the field 2 years in a row, you're the top goal scorer, you beat me, which is almost impossible. But it's just like the transformation that I've seen in you, and not just like your professional, but like your playing sports, dealing with people, getting people like coming back to you, I definitely can see that there was something that triggered that transformation in you emotionally, and then all of these things came on the back of it.
Yeah.
So how, can you maybe talk a little bit about this NET and how this plays in your life and how it plays in your patients and people that are listening that want to go ahead?
Yeah, cool. Can we, at the end of the podcast, can we put some links in? Like, I can throw up some, there's some great videos from a research foundation called the One Research Foundation.
100%.
Yeah, that talks a little bit more about NET as well, because what they've shown with this technique, so it's a technique that utilizes muscle testing and kinesiology, which is like more on the hippier side of things when we look at it. But what we do know is the research, the scientific research that comes out is quite fascinating. So what they're looking at the moment is they might, for example, let's use an example of, well, the research they're talking about at the moment is in people who have survived cancer, chemotherapy, and they are still seeing that these people hold a lot of fear and stress. And then they do the technique, well, actually they get them to think of the things that were stressing them about having cancer. And they take a map of their brain, and what they see is all of these stress centers light up. And then they use NET, neuroemotional technique, to then perform and address these fears. And then they rescan their brain, and that they see that these areas are not being as active. So what we know is that this technique literally changes how your brain works. And again, this isn't me just saying it. There's some really interesting studies. So we'll put a link up in with the podcast with a little video that explains it more. But essentially, it's really like you can do it in 2 minutes, you can do it in 15 minutes. It uses muscle testing to try and identify what those beliefs are in a combination with some tapping on the spine. It sounds really interesting and basic when you explain it like this, and that's because it is. It doesn't ever replace counseling or psychology or longer formats. But what it really does is get in there and address the subconscious beliefs. And it does that quite quickly. I would really recommend for people, if it is something they're interested in, when I look at any therapy that I recommend or that I'm going to utilize with a patient, the main thing I look at is risk versus benefit. So if we look at something like a medication, let's just take non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, which is like your Nurofen, your Voltaren. In Australia, I'm not sure what it is in America, but these drugs can be useful because they can limit inflammation, but they come with a risk that they can develop a gastrointestinal ulcer and die. So when I recommend a therapy like that, I have to weigh that up and I have to educate someone about the risks and the benefits. Mm-hmm. When I look at something like NET, it is a technique with very, very, very low risk. Your biggest risk would probably be that you would go do their technique and you'd be like, oh, that wasn't quite for me. And you've lost your $90 or whatever you've spent on the appointment. But the benefit could be that this might be something that you respond really well to, is the right technique at the right time for you to start exploring your feelings, your emotions, your self-limiting behaviors, your subconscious beliefs. And it could start to open that up and then change. And for me, that was the first technique I utilized that started me thinking. And then from there, I definitely moved into combining that with longer formats. I work with a lovely lady named Bryony, who's a transpersonal coach, who works with me in understanding the deeper aspects of my personality and why I do things. But I think that's how I would best explain NET. But any explanation I have now, and even watching the videos, won't be a substitute for finding someone who does this technique and just go giving it a try.
Beautiful. Well, I've done it. I still remember the first day that I did it, and it was actually not with you, it was with Maddie. And she came and she was like, just hold your arm strong. And then she came with two fingers against my arm doing this technique. And she's like, can you see that your arm is a lot stronger than my two fingers? And I was like, yeah, of course. Look at the size of my arm. I'm very strong. And then she kept going with different, like, I think those vials with different, like, chemicals or something that they have in it. And then she went with one and it's like, are you okay with this? You're okay with this? And as soon as she put zinc in my belly, it just went like really weak and I couldn't hold my arm strong. And I was like, what the heck? How did this happen? And then she's like, well, this is your body saying I need this, because, and that blew my mind. And then ever since, I noticed that I'm stuck somewhere in my life, that I'm stuck, you know, I'm trying to do a business, I keep getting back to the same problems and I can't move on. And then I go do an NET technique, and then all of a sudden there was something that happened. I don't know, maybe I had a discussion with my wife about, you know, that I didn't make the bed or I didn't wash the dishes, and then that was holding me back. And that's like, that's crazy how those little things we don't think about, because we're just so used to think, we just have to keep going, and we don't stop and analyze, why do we do things? Why do I think this way? And why do I react the way that I react, right?
Yeah. I can't remember who said it, but a line that always sticks with me is that, like, emotional growth and intelligence can't be developed without emotional awareness. Meaning, until you are aware of what you're feeling and how you're feeling it and why you're feeling it, you can't change what you feel. So if you get always, well, let's use your example. If you're always worried about what people think, until you even realize that that is an issue for you, it's going to affect you. Like, it's going to keep coming over you. Like, you'll go to take that job offer and you won't. You'll want to start that podcast, but you won't. You'll want to interview for that next level up in the job, but you won't, because there are these beliefs holding you back. But it's only through techniques like NET, because there's a myriad of different things. Like, NET isn't the only technique that can help someone do these things, but it's only by analyzing and looking at what we do that we can start to change it. It's like, you don't know that there's something you want to change until you know that there's something changed. Like, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
So I always think that for me, NET was that biggest thing of identifying, as you were saying, these little things, like, why did I get angry when my partner didn't make the bed? Well, was it because they didn't make the bed that morning, or was it because I didn't feel heard that I'd asked them to do it the night before? And was that going back to a time in my life where I didn't feel heard, and that has become a thing for me? So then by clearing that, I'm aware that that is a thing for me. So next time my partner doesn't make the bed, I'll feel that emotion come over of like, oh my gosh, they didn't make the bed. And then it'll be like, no, that's not really to do with the bed. That's with me not feeling heard. So now that I'm aware of that, I can open lines of communication with my partner and be like, hey, I just want to give you a heads up. One of the things that I found was tough is that I've been asking you to make the bed and you haven't been, and I'm feeling like not heard because of this. Is there a way, is there something we could do to sort this out? Which is a much better result for someone than, you never make the bed, and then kicking off. Or what I see all the time, internalizing the anger that you feel then, not saying something then, and when there's something else that happens in your relationship or with someone else, that anger coming out at that time.
Yeah.
Like, it's all about learning to feel what you actually want to feel in that moment.
Or that could come back in an injury.
Yes.
Like we were talking before.
Yes.
Crazy, right?
Is that this stress has to go somewhere.
Yeah. So, we're about to come to the end, but I just, before we finish, I want you to say what's next, because you've built this amazing clinic. And I know that there is next steps in your life that are coming up. So I'm really excited about that. I want you to share that. And then I want you to just, if you could say one thing for the listeners, like one message that would make them, healthier and happier, what would that be? Like, what would be their recommendation? You know, like, I don't know, drink water or, you know, jump in the ocean, whatever it is that you think.
Yep. Okay. So first, what's coming up for me is my wife and I are starting a new practice. This will be the first time I'm telling anyone the name. It's going to be called Beyond Self. It's going to be here on the northern beaches of Sydney, and it's going to be a big multidisciplinary approach. We're going to have integrative chiropractors, transpersonal coaches, naturopaths, nutritionists, acupuncturists, massage therapists, dry needleists. I'm really starting to form a one-stop shop for all of the different amazing avenues of healthcare, because they all work and they're all fantastic. But really with that focus of that mental and emotional health. So that's what's coming up now. We're definitely going to start transitioning that into holding our own workshops.
Nice.
In the clinic. We're going to start holding our own retreat soon, which is really exciting. That's going to be super good. We'd love to have Cass and any of the podcast listeners. A message to everyone. Wow. Okay. What is one really important thing?
Yeah. Like, because like you deal with people like every day, all the time, and you know a lot about not just the body, but the brain and lifestyle. So what is the one thing that maybe that you do that you think, oh, this is what I do that changed my life, or this is what I do that without this, I couldn't, keep going?
Actually, I'll answer it in a little bit different way, because this was actually a conversation I was having with a patient yesterday. We were doing some NET, and she kept on repeating to me like, oh, I know this is so stupid. I know I shouldn't be doing this. I know I should be doing that. And two things came out of that is, one, how dangerous that word should is. Like, stop comparing yourselves to other people. You're exactly where you're meant to be at any time, and that we never win that comparison of should. You're always comparing yourself to someone who doesn't exist, who magically does all the things that you want to do. But the other thing that I would say is that I get the unique ability to do that not many other people get to do, is I get to see all of you. Like, I get to see all of the patients. I get to hear everyone's deepest, darkest fears. I get to hear the terrible things the terrible things that they've done. I get to hear all of their aspects. I get to hear when a relationship's ending, when they've cheated on partners. I hear all of it. And what I would say to people that I was telling this lady is, I wish that everyone could get the chance to hear these NETs, because everyone would realize that everyone is going through the same thing. is that you might not think that you're good enough. You might not think that you can do this. You might think that your fears are stupid or what you think isn't worthwhile, and that you might feel alone. And in that, know that all of these thoughts, all of these feelings, everyone is having them. I wish everyone could get a chance to look inside and hear what's in each other's heads, to know that these are all things that we battle with. But the key is, stop comparing yourselves to other people. Stop saying, I should be doing this, I should be doing that. And just start doing what it is you want to do and what you're meant to do. And remember that you are a person of immense value. What you bring to this world in your unique way is incredible and amazing, that we all have our value. And that would be it.
Thanks so much, man. I really appreciate it. And again, that's really, like, for me, I really believe that the way that we speak with ourselves really matter.
Yep.
And they change the way we view the world. They are the lenses that we see the world with. And just by changing the way that we think, but also changing the way that we talk to ourselves, you know, if you can't do something, don't just beat yourself up. Just know that, like you said, everyone is going through the same things. Everyone is going to feel a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of stress. There will be things that will, quote unquote, be bad happening in people's lives, but you are here for a reason. That's what I believe. And you are unique. So just go out and do your own thing and be amazing like you should be. And that's what we have for you today. Ooh. Thanks so much for being
Pleasure.
Here. I really appreciate it.
And I'm stoked to be the first ever podcast guest.
And please come back next time.
I will. 100%.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks for listening to The Podcast with Cass Garcia. If you enjoyed this episode, please share with anyone who needs to receive this message. And also, leave a rating and review on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you are listening. If you are interested in getting one-on-one coaching with Cass or be part of his group coaching, please go to www.coachcass.life or follow his Instagram page on cassgarcia.podcast. See you next time.